With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Davante Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown.
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And on today's show, I am joined, as always, by my co-host. It is Sean Siegel, but we're also joined by Blair Andrews, our co-manager of the FFPC baseball team. Listeners off the show will know that we've talked about it quite a bit over the last few weeks and given you updates on how that team has progressed. Well, I'm delighted to say that we are true to the final 12 spots in that league. As we enter week 17, there was 4,608 teams that kicked this off, and 12 remain. And luckily, at this point, we are one of the 12 teams remaining. And first place, as a reminder, in this tournament will take home $100,000. So it should be a pretty exciting week this coming week. So we thought we would get the band together and have a little talk through some of the process, maybe, of the draft. I did post the entire live draft. I believe it's 2 hours or just short of 2 hours up on the podcast main feed for RotoViz Radio if you want to head back and listen to that after you finish up here. But we're going to talk a little bit about it. Blair's going to join us for two shows this week, and we're going to look a little bit ahead, and we're going to have a fourth. Well, the plan is to have four shows this week at the time of recording, hoping to have Mike Leone off Establish the Run join us. He is also in the final, and we do have Connor Driscoll as well, writer for the site, in the final. So RotoViz well represented between us three and Connor in there as well. I think it should be a fun week. Hopefully we can take it home. But guys, I'll let Blair go first. He's the guest here, I guess, Sean, on the show. Excited for how things turned out in week 16?
Oh yeah, extremely excited. It was a pretty fun sweat there at the end where we needed a couple guys to either, you know, have duds or maybe stay out on the COVID reserve list, but they came through for us, or failed to, as the case may be. And here we are.
Yeah, I did watch back, knowing the result and knowing how things played out on Sunday Night Football. I did rewatch the RotoViz report with yourself and Hassan. You didn't seem overly positive about our opportunities when we were, for the listeners, we were waiting to see how CeeDee Lamb would go. We needed less than 16 points from Lamb, and it was looking pretty ominous at one point, but the Cowboys obviously winning that quite easily. That led to Lamb and a lot of the starters getting rested earlier than they normally would. But we did scrape it through, but after that we realized then that we had a little bit of Sean and myself done a lot of research on the COVID rules in the NFL as to how players could get activated or would they get activated. But Adam Trautman for the Saints was not activated, which kind of sealed our spot then in the final. But Sean, we do a lot of shows, we talk about a lot of teams, but this is the hope when we're in August, but now there is a reality of a 12 team final for some big money.
It is. And I mean, it's been an absolute blast to follow this team all year. It's made the last month extremely exciting. Sometimes that excitement can get to be almost a little bit much, as you outlined there. It's kind of funny the way that the day went. You mentioned yesterday kind of researching the COVID rules. that was more or less just to know what was going to happen. I mean, we hate to have leagues decided by players not being able to play. And, you know, it would have been an exciting game if Trautman had been available there. I mean, he has hit the number he would have needed once this season. And anytime a player has done it once, you know, it wouldn't have been a great environment last night. Obviously, Ian Book was not leading the Saints up and down the field. That would have been a tough play, but you never know. I mean, I was even going back and looking.
They weren't going in any direction. They were just going back ways.
They were. There were. I mean, I was even checking yesterday. We didn't talk about it much, and there probably wasn't a huge reason to talk about it, but T. Higgins scored 40-plus points yesterday or on Sunday, and if Devontae Parker had done that last night, then that would have also been enough. I checked back in 90 career games. His high, I believe, was 34.9. So he hadn't ever hit it. It didn't mean that he couldn't. It turned out last night, I'm not sure if he even caught a pass. It was the Jaylen Waddle show, and When Waddle is out there, you know, Tua only has eyes for him. So another great game from Waddle. Kind of the funny way some of these things will go. As a lot of listeners know, I record all of the shows. I kind of watch through them as they're going, try and watch, you know, four or five at each wave, you know, watch about a quarter, switch to a different game, watch about a quarter, keep going through. I can go pretty fast. I'd only, you know, get an hour, hour and a half behind game time sometimes, but then sometimes I take a little break in the middle of the day just to kind of wash a little bit of that out and make sure, you know, you don't go crazy and kind of lose track of what's happening. There's plenty of research showing your brain can only handle so much of one thing and create all those memories. And, you know, that's something we want to do for understanding the games, for writing about the games, and then just for enjoyment. And so, I mean, this is going to sound silly, but I was actually rooting for CeeDee Lamb during the Sunday night game because I also don't go in and check all of the results. And Colum did this amazing spreadsheet for us where he's got the players who have played, the players who haven't played, the players who are out with COVID. He's got little notes for us on like what we need to happen in all the different games. And I had memorized that as well as I could, but I wasn't necessarily thinking that CeeDee Lamb was one of the key players of the night and of the week. And Ben and I had this main event where CeeDee Lamb had scored a bunch of points that would have really helped us. And so even there at the end, when he drops that pass, when he's in at garbage time with all of the scrubs, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, if that's the one that costs us the whole thing, then, but no, it turns out it could have been the one where he might've caught it and then run for a touchdown. And so thankfully everything turned out all right. By the time I looked, you know, we had it sewn up. So I was just feeling very good about it the whole way.
Yeah, maybe Sean's on to something. Maybe it is. That's the relaxing way to do it. I know how Sean feels. There's often times when the games start here where, you know, I have to pause it to, could be to, you know, give my daughter a shower or something to that effect. But the games end when you're behind and you're always like, oh, I don't want to know the score. So sometimes that can be good. But we've talked about a few times recently, Sean, where usually if you're in enough leagues, you're rooting for somebody in one league, but you're going against them in another league. And I was actually looking at some dynasty leagues for this coming weekend in week 17 that I'm through to the final. And I'm actually facing in one league a team that is pretty much an identical makeup of players that I'm rooting for in one league and going to be rooting against in the other league. So I just needed to find that perfect margin where it all works out. But back to the main action in hand, heading back, I think we drafted this league. I'm just going to see here if I can pull up the actual draft date, which I can't at the moment, but I believe we were a week or two out from the season at the point of drafting. But part of this team and something that, again, a bit like finding that perfect balance of how things are going to play out for you across leagues is Jonathan Taylor heading into this past week and heading into 2 weeks ago specifically in the week 14 bye for Jonathan Taylor. Me and Sean talked about this quite a bit. After that week where a lot of his teams had actually qualified because they hadn't had the bye week, they had gained the advantage of the extra week. A lot of those teams were then wiped out. And then this week again, we've seen something similar where Jonathan Taylor puts up 10 points in PPR formats, has a solid rushing day, but no passing work and no touchdowns. So that led to a lot of his teams not progressing this week. But when we were drafting, obviously there was a lot of news around that time with Carson Wentz, with the offensive line, how things were going to play out. And look, the offensive line has played out pretty well. The quarterback play hasn't really played out all that great, but Jonathan Taylor has been fantastic all season. So in terms of where we base this team off, if we had known what we know now, getting Jonathan Taylor with the 12th pick in the draft would have seemed like an absolute steal.
Blair, we started this with a Taylor Adams turn. And kind of like Colin was saying, we drafted about a week before Aaron Rodgers said that he was going to come back and play with the Green Bay Packers. So we were drafting without that knowledge. We go Taylor Adams. The pick right before us was Tyreek Hill, obviously someone we would have been interested in. The pick right after us, George Kittle, someone we would have had a little bit of interest in. A couple of the backs who then went, Cam Akers, Antonio Gibson. So this is kind of during the time period before Akers goes out. Interesting to see, you know, where he slides in then right before Gibson and Harris. Kind of looking through this, I mean, these were the perfect picks at this juncture. I think right now, if we were to redraft 2021, Jonathan Taylor would go first. Davante Adams would probably go in the top five. Are there any other players that, you know, even kind of trying to think through and maybe say, tell yourself that you don't know what happened that you would have been looking at here?
And just to butt in before Blair does go, I did just check because, you know, some of these players when we're talking about them might seem like they're in different ADPs. The draft was actually the 18th of July, so it was a lot earlier than I had anticipated. So about 8 weeks out from the season.
Yeah, so it's funny. I think that around this time in the offseason, I probably was toying with the idea of having Calvin Ridley as a first-round value. And would have been really tempted to take him with one of these first two picks in the, you know, at the 1-2 turn. The other guy, maybe DeAndre Hopkins, although I think I had Ridley ahead of him. But yeah, Ridley is the one guy that I'm seeing that I feel like I would have been tempted at this point. I mean, obviously, you know, taking Adams instead of that worked out. Worked out well, but yeah, I think even back then, I think we felt pretty good about these picks. I mean, getting Taylor at the end of the round, kind of knowing he had that week 14 bye, I think, you know, that's part of what probably kept him that low throughout the entire preseason. So you take some risks with these guys, not knowing Rodgers' status, but yeah, I think we felt good about it.
Yeah, what actually makes it, as we go through the draft, this is a team that we have Adams stacked with Aaron Rodgers. So I haven't listened back. I mentioned earlier I've posted the draft. I do plan to listen back to it this week just to see some of our thoughts as we went through it. But we did actually stack Adams up with Rodgers, two Rodgers in the seventh round. And obviously at that time, maybe the concerns weren't as real as they were, you know, 3 weeks before the season that he may not turn up. So having Adams and Rodgers in there is interesting. And this week it looked like, you know, we were getting off to a fantastic start with Rodgers and Adams on Christmas Day and how things looked. And then the second half of that game, obviously, they kind of quietened down. But it was actually our next pick in the eighth round, Sean, that did some major damage this week. And Joe Burrow being able to put up probably the best game in terms of fantasy points of his career. In between those picks, before we got to Rodgers and Burrow in the seventh and eighth round, we did go with DJ Moore, we went Mark Andrews, we went Javonte Williams, and we went Noah Fant in those spots. Sean, a bit like the question you asked Blair a moment ago, looking in hindsight now, is there any of those that you may have flipped the script on?
Well, obviously DJ Moore has not done what we had hoped, and yet the peripherals are so crazy that he's going to be more expensive next year because in some ways he's been so good that he's been able to overcome this team that really is perhaps, I mean, if you had a choice this week of playing in the Panthers offense or playing in the Jets offense, you would take the Jets offense without, you know, any doubt. I mean, if Elijah Moore comes back and plays, then, you know, we're in a situation where he feels like a much better play than DJ Moore. And obviously DJ Moore is a better wide receiver at this point, and one of the very best wide receivers in the entire NFL. So it's frustrating that he doesn't have the upside he otherwise would. You know, you go in and you look, and people have been tweeting out all season on different places about how, you know, his peripherals, his target share, all those kinds of things fit in with the very top guys. And yet, you know, he's the one player in that group who's not really making a lot of noise. I mean, the person that we would have wanted was CeeDee Lamb, who at that point was still getting close to that range. He went at the 309. You look at the next guys off the board, and I mean, Chris Godwin was the other one that I really wanted. And you know, at this point with him getting injured at the very end, you know, that would have been less favorable for us for this part of the tournament. He did have a better season, and really all of the thesis that we had for him came through. I mean, he was an absolute target monster there for the Buccaneers. He went in the middle of the fourth round. The real impact player, obviously, Cooper Kupp has won all the leagues. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the second show, but only in, thank goodness for us, two of the teams in the final 12. He went a full round later. He's not somebody we were necessarily on. The other people I think we were most interested in would have been, you know, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, guys who almost came back to us at the next spot. And T. Higgins a little bit disappointing this season until the week 16 game, but that game almost big enough to kind of account for everything else that happened. Of course, he had to have gotten to that point, and he wasn't as helpful in the first two thirds of the season as we might have liked.
NFL football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find NFL tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all of their NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. One of my bucket list items is certainly to head on over and see my Green Bay Packers over in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. I'm super excited to see how this season plays out for the Packers. Whether it's the Packers or any other team that you want to head and get in on the action this season and attend a game, whether it's a home game for your favorite team or it's on the road, TickPick has you covered. Visit TickPick.com/RotoViz to save 10% on your first order. So if you're thinking of going to a game this season, don't wait. Head on over, get those tickets. That is TickPick.com/RotoViz.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It's kind of interesting there, Blair. You had mentioned that Jonathan Taylor, he lasts to the 112 because of the bye. One of the things that I mentioned in an article recently is I think that this element where there were tournaments of different types where that bye was going to really come into play, I think a lot of the people drafting early knew that. And it does factor into how you want to play it. And we do know that the vast majority of Taylor teams did get knocked out during the bye week. So it was a legitimate concern. People made it through and then they didn't. But it almost seems like his ADP was artificially low because of that. And then when the bad news kind of came out over the last, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of the offseason that made his situation look even worse, he was hammered a second time. And then he dropped some more, and then people were kind of anchoring to this ADP. There was already a discount because of this week 14 bye. Do you think that he ended up being double discounted in a way that shouldn't have happened, because we kind of tend to think of players and player values as relative to ADP. And these ADPs do get set by the high volume drafters kind of throughout the first two thirds of the season. That doesn't mean that people don't change. We do have players, especially in, you know, rounds 3 through 10, where you get some massive differences if teammates get hurt or, you know, their backups get hurt or, you know, what have you. So it's not like ADP doesn't change, but this one is one where it seems like ADP was always kind of wrong, and then it got even worse because it was the discount that turned out to be based on stuff that didn't matter at all already came from a spot where he was too cheap.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I mean, you know, he lasted to 112 here, but in some main event drafts closer to the start of the season, it was possible to get him, you know, in the early second, like 204, 205. So he was even getting cheaper, you know, already at a price that was lower than it should have been, and then falling even further beyond that. I think the other thing is probably that there was some uncertainty with how much of a role Nyheim Hines would have. And, you know, we were obviously in on Taylor, but we still probably liked Hines as well to be a pass-catching force in that offense. And he really has kind of turned into just a pure handcuff almost.
Yeah, that's fair. It's interesting looking back through it too, Sean. You talked there about, you know, us taking DJ Moore and then some of the options that went after that, including Chris Godwin. In that early fourth round, Godwin is probably the option there. He went along with Mike Evans, Robert Woods, and Amari Cooper. Chris Carson went after our Mark Andrews pick. So when we look at it, we probably like would have been going all the way down to Jamar Chase almost a round later at that point. So I don't really see situations where we would have made a different selection really based on what was available at that point. The other key player that could come up for us in this week's final would be Javonte Williams, who we did take in the fifth round. And we did jump aboard the Broncos kind of bandwagon at that point. And we also took Noah Fant. I don't know, Sean, thinking back to this, I don't know if this was around the point that you thought that Rodgers would be with the Denver Broncos, and if you were trying to stack them with Rodgers then later in the draft rather than Adams, or were we trying to cover both bases here? I'm not entirely sure, but the players who did go around that pick for Javonte Williams was Mike Davis, Chase Claypool, Dallas Goedert, Kareem Hunt, Myles Gaskin, Trey Sermon, Chase Edmonds, Kenny Golladay, and James Robinson, all going in the kind of sixth round range after them. Looking through those names, there's not many others. It feels like, and again, I am going to go back and listen to that draft, but it feels like they were probably our two clear options at that point.
It's interesting, right? Because I don't think that Javonte Williams was necessarily the play structurally. He hasn't exactly turned out to be a great value, although he had a huge game in the first week of these playoffs and allowed us to overcome having Jonathan Taylor. We put up a massive score when Jonathan Taylor was on the bye, so that worked out very, very nicely. We do know that he actually got more expensive as the draft season went along. So in some ways we anticipated and we're very much arguing for him as a guy where if you were going to go running back there, it really needed to be him. And I mean, he was even on the first, you know, zero RB candidates list as the number one guy, which basically means the most expensive guy. Now, by the time the final drafts were going, he had risen out of any range where you might consider it to be zero RB. I still, on the list, I put out guys who are going to be fifth rounders because, you know, some people are going to want to go for wide receiver and then take a running back, then maybe move back to some wide receivers. Obviously, you can do it in different ways. He was a guy that we really liked. You know, doesn't make sense there. Blair, how much of this do you think, and then going back with Fant also hasn't really panned out, but we did want to have the two shots at the star tight ends in part so we could stay with just two tight ends, which again, I mean, Fant really hasn't scored enough points to make that work that well, but Mark Andrews has been such a monster that obviously few of those points have been needed. Now, Fant does still go into the flex sometimes because the tight end scoring is so favorable for them. I'm kind of thinking that we went this route because we didn't like the wide receivers who were available next. Colin had mentioned Claypool, Golladay, Beckham, Robbie Anderson, Tyler Boyd. You know, those are the next stretch of guys off the board. And we were really targeting the round 7 wide receivers, which Tyler Boyd, Debo, Jerry Jeudy, LaVisca, Juju, DJ Chark. All of those guys go before our next pick, which is one of the reasons why we then come back in the QB window and go Rodgers Burrow, which is panned out nicely, especially in week 16 there with Burrow. So our gamble to pass on wide receiver and get the guys that we wanted at the 7-8 turn, that didn't pan out. It left us much shorter at wide receiver. One of the things that's kind of interesting about this team making it through is it is one of our sort of wide receiver shallow drafts, and it has worked out. And one of the reasons why player selection does matter, right? I mean, people will sometimes say, okay, well, you talk about structural drafting so much, but player selection matters. It does matter. And we do have guys that we are specifically targeting because their profile at the price is much better than guys who are going the same place. But what do you feel about how we handled this with the wide receivers, the QBs that we got? Obviously, it's worked out. What would you have done differently, if anything?
It's interesting to try to reconstruct our thought process here. I feel like we probably are seeing like Higgins go off the board, Ayuk go off the board, and are starting to tilt a little bit and saying, okay, what are our options? We better just take Javonte Williams. Todd asked on Twitter, who's also one of the final 12, he asked on Twitter why we took 7 running backs after also taking Jonathan Taylor. That seems like too many running backs. And it may be that in the back of our minds, we're thinking we really need to have that week 14 bye covered. So from that perspective, Javonte Williams kind of worked out perfectly as if we had planned it. So it's hard to look back and say that I would have necessarily done anything differently because, like you said, I'm not thrilled with the wide receiver options that were left to us. So yeah, we would have loved to get Chenault or Juju, but yeah.
It feels like in hindsight, like looking at the draft board and how it has played out and with the injuries and all things considered, really the only pick that you probably flip is Cooper Kupp for DJ Moore, which was not in the conversation, like taking him one round earlier. Cooper Kupp now, obviously it's not worked out for me. He was somebody that I wasn't heavily targeting, which I wish I had been, but that seems to be the pick that probably you could change. But again, going back and being in those shoes, it wasn't something we considered, so I'm not overly, you know, disappointed by it. Where we did, I do think that the pick of Javonte and also the pick of the extra running backs was going to be down to the fact that we had Jonathan Taylor and knowing that he was going to be on that bye. And then when we looked down through it, some of the options that were left and were available when we got to the 16th round was where we took our final running back who came true big for us this week and the week prior. It is Rashad Penny. Came true big for the last 2 weeks to help us advance. I think that, like, you know, at that particular point in the draft, the players that were remaining that were available and the running backs, like, for example, taken after him, Malcolm Brown, Marlon Mack, Samaje Perine, and Justin Jackson. So at that point of the draft, I think he is, like, I guess he's always going to be one of our targets when we get to the late round of the drafts. So I think based on the pick off Taylor and knowing that bye week, I think that we needed that extra running back. And based on how we have actually gone at the running back position with Gio being on the injured reserve and with things really, we're not getting much from Chuba Hubbard at the moment. And then David Johnson missing some of the games as well. I think that I don't think we would have advanced without that additional running back. And with how the last 2 weeks have played out, we definitely wouldn't have got through without Rashad Penny. So unless we changed one of the other running back selections, I think we would be eliminated at this point.
Looking at the draft board, kind of thinking that, like, if we didn't want to take 7 running backs, then who would we have dropped from this roster and gone with a wide receiver instead of? But there's not an obvious choice for, like, a wide receiver that we would prefer over one of these running backs that we took who's going later. So
I think the way it could have flipped is if we passed on Rodgers or Burrow and had one quarterback, we may have been able to take another wide receiver at that point, and then we may have taken a quarterback where we've taken one of the running backs in terms of if we changed our draft structure. But I think the way it played out, it would be hard to switch.
Yeah, we would have probably taken Will Fuller. So
Well, this is one of the areas where it just really helps to understand structural drafting, right? And it helps to understand how you move through a draft. Because the fact that we had Mark Andrews and Noah Fant meant that we could go with just the two tight ends, right? So you're not burning tight end picks later. The fact that we took Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow where we did and within the QB window, which is something that I think a lot of drafters in best ball still don't necessarily understand. You can see that really well in the tools that Mike Beers developed for us. And Mike Beers just running away with the MFL 10 of death this year. I mean, his all knowledge and expertise just really jumps out all of the time, right? So you have the tools. Show you this, when you draft a QBs in the window, that really helps. But also having those two QBs there meant that we only needed two quarterbacks. And that ends up saving roster spots for us. That gives us the opportunity to draft extra running backs. The other thing that you see there is that, and this is one of the things that Peter Overzet talks about all the time, but as you get into those areas of the draft, the running backs are always the best picks, right? And so what do you want to do with these lower value picks? Well, you want to take the guys who are the most valuable. And so, you know, Blair kind of mentioned it there. You look through the stretch of wide receivers selected during the time period where we took those last five running backs, David Johnson, Devin Singletary, Gio Bernard, who obviously didn't play much and got hurt, Chuba, and Rashad Penny. And you see that there is only one wide receiver who had value, right? And that was Cole Beasley, who we weren't going to pick for fairly obvious reasons. And then you do have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who didn't help you get in. But if you did have him there on your roster and then you got in, then he's been a monster for you during the fantasy playoffs here. So if we had taken wide receivers, we would have weakened this team. Whereas, as you guys mentioned, I mean, one of the things that people always go back to, they're like, well, Rashad Penny was the fifth of those guys that you drafted. It was like, yeah, he was. But he was also on zero RB list. He was one of Curtis Patrick's favorite players for the season. That's one of the reasons why Curtis is in the final 160 on the underdog. And you have to hit your guys through there. You don't know that Bernard isn't going to necessarily play because the Buccaneers somewhat ludicrously decide to make Leonard Fournette the guy. You don't know that he's going to get hurt during this time period where he would have otherwise come in and been a huge force. Right, you don't know that Devin Singletary is going to be the guy who wins the job and frankly looks fantastic during the fantasy playoffs. And so you want to take the most valuable players all the way through there. And then you have this very balanced, nice roster where one of the things that's kind of embarrassing is that we have the zero RB, the modified zero RB, the wide receiver heavy draft approach. And yet in this past week, we had two running backs in the flex. But part of the reason that we did that is because those late round running backs have so much value, right? And that's one of the things that we saw with Connor's team, where Connor blew out our league, finished number one among all 12 teams that made it to the final 12 in terms of week 16 scoring, scored well over 200 points. And he did it with Dalvin Cook out on the COVID list, right? Because his team was so perfect, such a work of art, that when Cook goes out, it morphs into this zero RB juggernaut where he gets huge points from Sony Michel and Singletary. And then he's got this wide receiver group where he has Tyler Boyd and Marquise Brown on the bench, right? And just, absolutely torches the league. And so that's what you want to have. You want to have the flexibility to win in a variety of ways. And kind of like Blair, you were saying, one of the reasons that we approached it this entire way is that you've got to get through week 14. Which we did, scoring 190 points.
Yeah, and when you mentioned there just the team that Connor has, anyone that wants to see that, Sean did mention earlier in the show, he did do a little bit of a review of that, and it is truly a spectacular team. It has to be one of the favorites as we head into the final here, and that is in Sean's Monday recap piece, so check that out. After we did draft those two tight ends and the two quarterbacks, from round 9 onwards, there was 20 tight ends drafted and 17 quarterbacks. So again, when you go back to the construction of getting the guys you want and then not having to go and get that third guy, because when you look at some of the guys taken from round 10, 11 onwards, there is some gems in there, but there's an awful lot of players in there who have really not impacted the season either way. So good recap there, looking back to see what we would have changed. It doesn't sound like we wouldn't have changed a huge amount, so hopefully that works in our favor this coming week as we are into that final. We will be doing a show where we look ahead to that with Blair coming up. It'll drop on your RotoViz Overtime Twitter, your Overtime Ireland podcast feed over the next couple of days. We will have Mike Leone on for a show as well. So we're hoping to have four shows coming your way this week. You can also listen to the live draft if you want to go back and see if our thoughts of why we drafted players on today's show matches why we did those selections in the live moment that is up on the RotoViz Radio main podcast feed. That's going to do it for today's episode of the show. As always, you can sign up and get your discount to a RotoViz NFL pass using the code RVRadio2021. Just checking in as we do this live, Sean, are we still at 15% off for that discount code?
We're going to have the Christmas sale and the extra bonus for RV Radio through the new year here. So if you're meeting with a second set of in-laws over the second half of Christmas, I know that growing up, that's what I always did. And one of the best parts, you get to see mom's side 1 week, dad's side the next week. Sometimes you get to see more than that because we have such a great diversity in extended families in 2021 than more presents and more people that maybe you didn't know you were going to actually run into. And you need to get them a RotoViz subscription. So this is a great time to do it.
Yeah. And tell them all the guys that are, you're listening to their podcast are all in these big finals. Tell them to listen in. We'll get them there next year as well. But that is going to wrap up today's show. Once again, that code is RVRadio2021. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Blair Andrews is our guest on this edition. You can follow him on one of my favorite Twitter handles, which is at Am I the Real Blair. And of course, you can follow Sean on rotoviz.com to get all his latest work. Still waiting. Maybe the year 2022 is where he comes back onto the Twitter landscape, but we'll see. But we'll be back with another show the next couple of days, hopefully Wednesday. And until then, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.